Let's open our Bibles this morning. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Joshua judges Ruth first in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 26 here. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 26. This is David writing. He's actually singing. This is a song of praise that David shares. And in verse 26 of chapter 22, it says, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful, and to the blameless you show yourself blameless." Now when he sang it, it probably sounded like this. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. But David sings this, and it's a song that he puts together. And in the midst of the song, and talking about God and His faithfulness, he says, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless." Now last week we talked about God's faithfulness, but this morning we're going to talk a little bit about our faithfulness. We're going to talk about our response to God's faithfulness. We're going to talk about our response to who He is. Notice here, it says that to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the faithful, God shows Himself faithful. So that responsibility then, on the part of the people of Israel, for them to be faithful. That as they were faithful, God showed Himself faithful to them as well. Go over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, about in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is another song of David. In Psalm 37, we're going to look at verse 28. It says, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off." Again, now it talks about that protection that God brings to those who are faithful. So as the people of Israel were faithful, God promises that protection to them. Okay, so that faithfulness that they had to first have. Go to Proverbs. One book over. Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. Proverbs 28, 20, it says, "A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished." Okay, so Proverbs 28, 20, "A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished." Okay, I went through these kind of quickly. Wouldn't you say? Went through them kind of fast. A lot of times three verses were like 25 minutes. We're only three verses into it. This morning three verses was like 6 minutes. Well, here's the thing. When we look at those verses and they talk about our faithfulness and us being faithful and the importance of the people at the time being faithful, it's talking about that. It's talking about them being faithful. It's talking about God's people, the Israelites, about them being faithful. And when they're faithful, then these things will occur. Our situation's a little bit different, though. You see, we are not the Israelites. And God's faithfulness is not dependent upon our faithfulness. God's blessings come to us through Jesus Christ. God's blessings to us come through His Son. God's blessings come to us because you and I are His children as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so God's protection and hand of blessing are on us because we're His kids, because we're His children. God's blessing and that hand of protection, those verses that we looked at and those the outcome of their faithfulness comes to you and I because as believers in Jesus Christ, we are the children of God. And that's what fathers do. Not always earthly fathers perfectly, but that's the example that God gives to us. God blesses us and is faithful to us because we're His kids. Amen? That's the truth of it. And so that kind of if-then scenario that we see in the Old Testament, that if-then scenario of it, as long as God's people were faithful, then that protection came. As long as God's people were faithful, then He blessed them. As long as God's people were this, then He would do this for them. It really doesn't apply super well to us anymore. We are redeemed by our faith in Jesus Christ. Not of ourselves, but that being from God. By His grace, by His love. And so that if-then comes with, if you are a son of God, becoming one through Jesus Christ, and your faith and confession of Him is Lord, if that's the case, then God will bless you. If that's the case, then that protection is there if you choose to live in it. You see, so it's, we're not in a situation where as long as you're really good, then God's going to keep taking care of you. But rather, you're a child of God, and He's going to take care of you. Amen? So what's the use then? If that's the case, I'm already a child of God. Well, what the heck? There is a lot more things I could be doing this morning. Not any better, but there's a lot more things I could be doing this morning. What am I doing here then? See, here's the thing. If we're children of God, then we're children of God. There are things, Madison's not here to defend herself. There are things that Madison does. She's a child in our house, and there are things that she does. There are things that we desire of her. There are things that we force her to do. There are things that she does because she is our child. Right? Expectations are certainly there. And if you've ever been a child, I was one once. It was when I was younger. There are things that you do because you're a child. Right? We're children of God. We have an awesome Father. We are children of God, and we have an awesome Father. And so the faithfulness that you and I have in our lives is not a faithfulness that we have so that we'll get something from our Father. Okay? It's not a faithfulness that we have so that we'll get something from our Father. And as we look through those verses in the Old Testament, we could put ourselves in that mindset where we say, well, I'm going to be faithful because when I do, God's going to do this for me. We could put ourselves in that position mentally. I'm good at that. I'm good at knowing, okay, as long as I do this, then this will occur. I'd have been a real good lab rat. Push this thing and the pellet comes out, I'd have been great at that. You know what I mean? I'd have been just great at that. That's not where our relationships with God are, though. As children of God, that's not the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. We have a relationship in which God has blessed me unbelievably. And so I choose to be faithful to Him. I choose to be faithful to Him. I don't do it so that I'll get some kind of result. I don't do it so that I'll receive something from Him. I'm His child, and He has already promised me life. I'm His child, and He's already promised me that through Jesus Christ, my faith in that. That ultimate gift has already been given to me. And so I choose, I desire, I make the purposeful choice in my mind and in my heart that I'm going to be faithful to my God. And I'm going to be faithful to my Father. That's our position of faithfulness as believers in Jesus Christ. Not one in which we desire to be faithful so that God will do things for us. But rather that I am going to be faithful to my God and my Father because He has already done great and marvelous things for me. Amen? Does that make a lot of sense? Here's the thing. As we're faithful to God, God opens doors of opportunity for us. As we're faithful to God, He opens doors of opportunity for us. And I've got to be honest with you, sometimes those doors of opportunity are real scary. They are. Sometimes those doors of opportunity are real, real scary. As I'm faithful to the Lord, as I am faithful to Him, He opens and provides doors and chances of opportunity for me to be purposeful in my ministry. And sometimes those doors that open, I would just as soon close them back up again. Because sometimes they're scary. And it takes my faith in the Lord and my knowing that He's going to be faithful to me in all things to walk through that door of opportunity that He puts there. Now, I'm not making this up. This isn't something that I'm the only one that experiences this. Let's look at the Word. Turn to Ephesians, okay? Paul writes the book of Ephesians. We're going to spend just a tiny bit of time in Ephesians, and then we're going to look at Colossians as well. But in Ephesians chapter 6, right near the end of Ephesians, Paul tells us about this guy who I think his name is Tychicus. Not positive, because I've never met the man, but I think his name is Tychicus. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Ephesians 6:21, it says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. We don't know a whole lot about Tychicus. He's a dear brother, and he's a faithful servant in the Lord. That's what we know about him from this verse. He's a dear brother, and he's a faithful servant in the Lord. Because he's a dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, Paul has used him, if you will, for a work of service to go to the Ephesians and tell them, hey, I've spent time with Paul. He's doing okay. He's doing well. This is what he says. I come as his instrument. I come as his tool to tell you how he's doing and to give you encouragement. Tychicus was faithful, and so he was given a ministry. He was given an opportunity. A door had opened for him to be obedient. He was faithful, and a door opened for him to be obedient, a door opened for him to be involved in service. And he took it. Go over to Colossians, very last part of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So just two books over. Paul also writes Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, we hear about this guy again. It says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So all we know about Tychicus is that he's a dear brother and that he's a faithful servant of the Lord. And it seems that because of that faithfulness, because he is a faithful brother in the Lord, he's been given responsibility, he's been given an opportunity to minister, he's been given a door, rather, has been opened for him, and by faith he is following it. And so he goes to the Ephesians and he goes to the Colossians. There may even be other churches that he goes to, although we don't know that specifically. But by his faithfulness, an opportunity was given for him to continue in his service for the Lord. And surely he was faithful and remained faithful and followed through with that. Now let's talk about Paul specifically. Go to 1 Timothy. After Colossians, or 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 and 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. This is Paul talking, and he says, I'm thankful that Christ has considered me faithful and appointed me to service. So as Paul was faithful, an opportunity opened, a door opened for him to continue to be faithful and for him to continue to have that service to the Lord. You see how this works? You guys see how this works? Okay, I just want to make sure we're there. We'll make sure we're all on the same page. That we're faithful not so that God will do something for us, but rather we're faithful because we have a God whom we can be faithful to. And know that faithfulness will not be disregarded or for naught. Knowing that our God has been faithful to us, that he's provided a way for us in life through Jesus Christ. And so as children of our God, we choose to be faithful. That faithfulness then opens opportunities of us to continue to be faithful and continue to serve. As we are faithful, opportunities open for us to continue to be faithful and to continue to serve. And again, sometimes those opportunities are scary. As we're faithful, sometimes opportunities open up and it's like, I don't think I'm ready for that. Maybe we've ministered to somebody who is already maybe a close friend of ours, and they knew we're already believers in the Lord. They know that we're faithful in our attendance at church. They know that we faithfully serve the Lord and are strong in our relationship with him. And so we had an opportunity at one point to be able to minister to them. And it was easy because they already knew me and I already knew them. And it was easy to be able to make that transition to start talking about God and his son Jesus Christ. As we're faithful in that, as God provides that opportunity and we're faithful and we say, I'm going to talk about God and about his son Jesus Christ in this opportunity. As we're faithful in that, then maybe the next time it's to somebody at work who doesn't know that we're believers. Maybe it's somebody who doesn't know that much about us, who we don't know real well, and maybe we don't even get along with too well. That's a scary opportunity, isn't it? It is for me. That's a scary opportunity. As we were faithful, another opportunity of ministry occurred. It opened up there for us. And we have to choose to continue to be faithful and step through that doorway that God's provided for us. And sometimes that doorway is scary. I know that. I've been there. Still there. It's scary. And that's where in our lives, that's where that sacrifice comes in. To know that our God is faithful to us. And when he opens an opportunity for me to minister in any number of ways, I used one example this morning, but any number of ways in which God has provided a way for us to minister the gospel of truth through Jesus Christ. He opens those opportunities in many ways, and sometimes they're scary. But for us to be in a position where we sacrifice the comfort that we have, where we sacrifice the desires that we have in our lives, where we sacrifice that doubt that God isn't going to provide for me as I walk through that door, as I take that opportunity of ministry, as we sacrifice that and lay it aside and say, God, I need you and I don't want that anymore. I don't want myself to get this thing bungled up. But rather, you, God, are faithful. And as I take this chance, as I take this risk, as I sacrifice and get out of my own comfort zone, I know, God, that you are faithful and are going to provide for me. Isn't that sacrifice in our lives? Isn't that sacrifice to even trust in God? And we think, well, it's not sacrifice to trust in God. I mean, we're believers. That's not sacrifice. It's just what we do. Do we? I mean, isn't that the question that we ask? Do we really? Do we trust in the Lord enough to be able to make sacrifices in areas like that? Do we trust in the Lord enough to be able to make sacrifices in things that are very, very special to us, so much so that they've taken a priority to Him in some areas of our lives? Do we trust the Lord enough to be able to do that? If we're going to talk about sacrifice, we need to talk about things that are really meaningful to us. I've collected baseball cards in the past. I still have a whole slew of them. I've got a Nolan Ryan autograph card. It's a pretty cool card. I really like it a lot. Okay? I also have... I also have an Enos Cabell card. You know who Enos Cabell is? He was a Tiger for a while. He was a Tiger back in their heyday in the 80s. Enos Cabell was one of the Tigers. Which one do you think is going to be easier for me to give away? The Nolan Ryan autograph card that I got, or the Enos Cabell? Goodbye, Enos. Goodbye, Enos. That is right. Goodbye, Enos. It's part of my collection. It's one of the many cards that are in there. Right? It's one that I own, and to give it, well, I'm sacrificing it because I'm not going to have it anymore. But one certainly a lot more meaningful to me, not only because of the value, but because Nolan Ryan was really cool. You see? And so that's when we think of sacrifice, we need to put ourselves in a position where we're okay with each one of us exploring our own hearts to say, let's put aside the discussion about sacrificing Enos Cabell. And now that we're going to be on the internet, if Enos Cabell is listening to this, I really appreciated the effort that you put forth for the Tigers. Go Enos. But we need to put ourselves in a position where we're okay considering in our own hearts, setting aside some of the sacrifices that are a lot easier to make, and being realistic about some sacrifices that we're able to make that are hard to make. Some of those difficult sacrifices. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus shares three different parables. In the beginning, he talks about the parable of the 10 virgins and the preparation that needs to be there, and the preparedness on our hearts to be ready for the coming of the Lord. The last part of Matthew 25 is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And that importance of meeting the needs of other people, that importance of putting ourselves in a position where we're able to meet the needs of others. But it's the parable in the middle, the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Jesus tells this parable, this story based on real life events that the people could grasp to attempt to teach a spiritual lesson using something physical. He says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, again it will be that it will be the kingdom of God. Again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money. Now if you have a little letter by the word talents, it's a footnote. Down at the bottom, the footnote probably says something along the lines of a talent was worth more than $1,000. Sure, say something along the lines of that. That talent, I don't know if it's because of inflation since the NIV came out or what, but the thinking is that talent was actually a lot more significant amount of money than $1,000. And sure, the more than $1,000 fits there, but the significance is lost a little bit when you say, it was also more than a dollar, too. The thinking is that that talent was probably approximate to like a year's wages. So if we're to think about that a little bit, then in our perspective, that talent, we'll just put a ballpark number on there of maybe $50,000. Okay? So think about that a little bit in the context of this story, and it brings out a little bit more meaning than maybe we had considered before. To one, he gave five talents of money, maybe about $250,000. To another, two talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with two talents gained two more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the two talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two talents. See, I've gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the one talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out. I hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When we look at this, it would be easy for us to put ourselves in a situation where we say, well, this is all about money. This parable that Jesus is telling is all about money. The master gives one money and he doubles it and he gives the other money and he doubles it and he gives the other one money and he just buries it and brings it back. This doesn't have anything to do with money. I mean, money is an underlying issue there, but the teaching doesn't have anything to do with money. The point of the parable isn't about finances. The point of the parable is about our trust and faithfulness. Our trust in the Lord and our faithfulness to Him. You see, the one who had five talents, he trusted the Lord. He trusted that which was given to him. And he knew that the Lord is going to provide for me, and so I'm able to use these talents that I was given. If we think in a financial way, then use this money that he's given. If we think in a ministry sort of way, then these abilities that he's given. I trust that the Lord is going to bless as I exercise these talents. As I use these talents, I know that the Lord is going to provide for me. And that takes trust on our part. When we think of a financial scenario then with this, it takes trust. It takes trust for us in thinking about Sacrifice Sunday offering we took up a little bit ago. It takes trust for us to maybe write that check or put in the cash or whatever we did. That takes trust on our part. If it was a sacrifice, it takes trust on that part. If it wasn't a sacrifice, it doesn't take near as much trust. Correct? I mean, I'm not judging anything that was given. I'm just saying, if it wasn't a sacrifice, it doesn't take trust. It doesn't take trust for me. It doesn't take trust in my walk with the Lord if there isn't sacrifice involved in it. It's when there's sacrifice that it takes me to really trust in the Lord and exercise that faith that I have in Him. Right? It doesn't... I want to get myself in trouble here. It doesn't take a lot of trust for me to stand in front of you on a Sunday morning. That doesn't take a lot of trust because there's not a lot of sacrifice. I like doing it. You see? And so there's not a lot of trust in the Lord in that. However, it takes great trust to say some of the things that I say. It takes great trust to open my heart to the Lord and be spoken to by Him as I share with you what He's impressing on my heart. That's sacrifice. Because there are sometimes I would rather you not know things about me. I'd rather you not know that I'm not perfect. You see, when there is sacrifice, then we exercise that trust that we have in the Lord. And so if we're in a situation in our lives where the ministry that we're involved in, where the things that we are involved in our walk with the Lord, where they don't take much sacrifice, they also don't take much trust in the Lord. If they don't take much sacrifice, they also don't take much trust in the Lord. And so as there is sacrifice and as there is discomfort, and I use that word only as the opposite of being comfortable in a place. If we're real comfortable in the things that we're doing, we're really not stretching ourselves much. If we're involved in a ministry that we're real comfortable with, then we're probably not stretching ourselves and being open to the Lord's direction for us to increase that ministry or even become involved in something else. I know that because I've been there. I've been there. It's easy to continue in the things that we're used to, knowing that there isn't much risk in it, knowing that there isn't a lot that I need to... That I need to invest in it and sacrifice for. It's easy to continue in that because I know there's not much risk and there's not a lot that I have to sacrifice and I know that I can take care of this on my own. But therein lies the problem. Because when I can take care of it on my own, I don't have to trust in the Lord one bit. It's when it gets a little bit more uncomfortable. It's when it's getting our hands messy in our walk with the Lord and in our ministry to others. It's when it becomes a little bit more difficult and a little bit more difficult and we have to continue to take steps of faith. Therein lies both the sacrifice and our trust in the Lord. I want you to notice something about this. When we look at this, going back to this parable, when we look at that parable, the person that was given five, they doubled it to 10. The person that was given two doubled it to four. Which one was better? Which person was better? Neither. Lots of times we kind of think, well, that the one with five who doubled it, I mean, they got five more. Now they have 10 instead of only four. There's a big difference between 10 and four. Go to the gas station. You'll find that out real quick. There's a big difference between 10 and four. But look how the response of the master comes for the person who doubled their five to get 10. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's pretty nice, isn't it? I would love to hear that. That is great. Now, let's look at the person who doubled their two to four. The master replies in verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." It's exactly the same. The wording is exactly identical. So it doesn't have anything to do with stuff. It doesn't have anything to do with money. The amount of it is insignificant. The amount of it is insignificant. And so when we think, well, I'm only good at like a couple of things, whereas somebody else, they're really good at a lot of things. Or I only have this much money and that person has this much money. It doesn't have anything to do with the amount. It has everything to do with the faithfulness and the trust with what we have. Amen? It doesn't have anything to do with the amount. So stop making those excuses. We can't live by them anymore. It doesn't have anything to do with the amount. It has to do with our faithfulness and our trust in the Lord to provide for us. Our trust that He's going to give us the strength to be able to take that step through that door that He's calling to us. See, as we're faithful children, opportunities are going to open for us. As we're faithful, opportunities are going to open for us. Opportunities of ministry to people around us. Opportunities of ministry. And I hope that I've shared my heart enough with you that you kind of know that ministry isn't just doing this one thing. You know, ministry isn't, you don't have to have a hammer in your hand to be involved in ministry. You don't have to have money in your hand to give to somebody else to be involved in ministry. You can, but those are not the only ways of ministry. Ministry isn't only about opening the Bible and saying this. It is that sometimes, but it isn't always. Ministry is touching the lives of other people with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's ministry. And it looks very different for every different person. It looks very different. But as we're faithful in the ministry that God has called us to, as we're faithful to that, doors of opportunity are going to open. Amen? I tried to lay that groundwork earlier. As we're faithful, doors of opportunity will open. The sacrifice for you and I comes in stepping through those doors of opportunity. It's comfortable to continue to do the things that we've been doing. It takes sacrifice, which hurts. It takes sacrifice to step through those doors and say, God, I trust that You're going to provide for me everything that I need to do that. His Word promises that. His Word promises that He's going to provide everything for you in the things in the ministry that He calls you to. He's also going to provide everything that you need to be able to follow through with that ministry. So the sacrifice is us trusting in the Lord to be able, trusting in the Lord that He's going to be honest with His Word. And we already know that He is. The sacrifice comes in you and I taking that step. The sacrifice comes in you and I being obedient to that which God calls us to. If you're comfortable with where you are, you things need to change. I mean, honestly, now we're getting to the part where it's a little bit less comfortable for me. If you're comfortable where you are, things need to change. If you're comfortable with where you are in your walk with the Lord, if you're comfortable with where you are, maybe even with sin in your life, if you're comfortable with where you are in the ministry you're involved in, if you're comfortable with those things, then you need a change. And you are the one that makes that decision of change. You are the one that makes that decision to change in your life. It takes sacrifice to get out of that comfort, doesn't it? It's a whole lot easier just to keep going and being comfortable. It really is. It's a whole lot easier. And that's where sacrifice comes in. I think a lot of times the Lord has opened opportunities for us, and when we say no, when we close that door, that's when we start to get real comfortable with where we are. When we don't trust that He's going to provide for us, and so we don't faithfully follow that which He gives us, that which He provides for us in the way of ministry. When we close that door, that's when we seal ourselves up in comfort. And now it's time then to open that door. Now it's all principle until this point. You just heard a bunch of good stuff up till now. If you're comfortable, something needs to change. If you're comfortable, something needs to change. So what is God calling you? What is He putting on your heart for you? What door is He opening in your life for you to walk through? He's not going to kick you through. He isn't. He's not going to open the door and then kick you through it. And people in the Word promise that, people in the Word have displayed that over and over again. He doesn't kick you through it. You decide to be obedient to it. What door has He opened that you need to make a sacrificial change in your life to trust that He's going to help you through? And then be faithful in that. Make that sacrifice. You make that sacrifice. God is going to be there for you. God is going to be there for you. He's going to provide all that you need. Even in our uncertain world, God is going to provide for all that you need. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to equip you for every work of service that He calls you to. He's going to equip you with the words. If He puts somebody in your heart that He wants you to minister to, He's going to give you the words. Take that step of faith. Make that sacrifice. And you start that conversation. If He calls you to some kind of ministry in the life of another individual, or even involved in an organization that already is involved in hands-on ministry, if He calls you to that, He's going to equip you for it. He's going to give you all that you need to be able to follow through with that. So sacrifice and walk through that door. You make that sacrifice and you go through that door. God is going to provide for you. He is faithful always. He's going to provide for you. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise this morning. Great God, Your ways are perfect and you are faithful beyond compare. You remain faithful in all times, God. We recognize that. You're faithful to Your promises. You're faithful to Your Word. And so we can cling to Your Word and hold on to those promises, knowing that You are there for us. God, You've shown us those doors of opportunity. And sometimes we're scared to walk through them. We confess that to You this morning, God. And so it's by our faith and our trust in You as our God that we step through those things. That we take those steps of service to You. Father, You've been faithful to this body, and there are people here who have been faithful to You time and time again. Each and every one here has been faithful to You time and time again. Father, there continues to be opportunity for us to grow, and so we desire that growth, and we offer that sacrifice for You and to You today. We give You thanks as our great God. We give You praise as our great equipper, who provided a way of wholeness and life for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.